forward in our This Is Us series. This is the Sunday that I picked the topic. And I was going to say this. Speaking of stories that will make you soar and cry, the Krauts family, Jamie, Ian, Ian's mom Sue back there and their kids, it was Jamie's nephew was suddenly and tragically killed in a car wreck. Was it Thursday? It was Wednesday. Prayer, he was only 20 years old. Prayers to the family. They'll be traveling after the church to be with the family and making arrangements. So our love and blessing and sympathies go with the family. So, amen. Yeah, that's tough. So what we're talking about here this Sunday is talking about faith. Now, whenever I picked this idea of talking about faith, what I had in mind, I actually had a story in mind. I was very jazzed about wanting to preach through the faith of the centurion. It's a story in the Gospel of Matthew where Jesus is like, I've never met a guy with faith like this. And I love that story, got real jazzed about it. But I thought, it's Labor Day weekend, I'm going to do something a little bit different. So you are now the guinea pigs. So you can squeak and squeal and run around in a box of sawdust if you want. But you are now the guinea pigs for a different kind of message. I've never actually preached a message quite like this before. And it comes from this. When we were putting together the website, we wanted to put our best foot forward and saying who we are and what we're about. And then if you want to get involved, kind of, here's some programs and things that we're doing. And then it was Amy Loonster was like, we need a third level, you need to go deeper. And she called it the fine print. And I love that. She's like, we need to say something about who we are and what we believe and kind of the real meat of the matter. And so we talked about that for a little bit, and we looked at a bunch of websites, and churches have these very pithy or long pages that will go on and on with doctrine and theology and things that I might geek out on, but things that others might just find, a sure cure for insomnia, like, oh my goodness. So we're like, how can we say something about who we are and maybe make it a little more, catching, a little more interesting? I want to say, what do they really mean by that? So we came up with a very pithy statement that I'm going to share with you, but I want to say this about the statement before I reveal. Actually, this statement is in your program, so you may already have read it, but I want to, here's my inkling. I had to look that up. Is that actually a word, or did I make that up? It's actually a word. When you get this intuition, this feeling, I had this inkling about the church that maybe is more than just an inkling. It might be based in reality, and that is church is on the wane in many sectors of our culture and society. Church attendance on a whole is down. Church membership on a whole is down. A lot of churches are closing. Some churches are growing. We obviously see God doing things, but things are changing. I think we could all agree with that. That's not, that's not a controversial statement to say. Things are changed. We're in the midst of a sea of a lot of change happening in our culture and in the church. And I'm more and more getting this feeling that we may be losing some casual Christian church attenders and culture and society, and we can bemoan that. We could feel bad about that. We could get worried about that. But I do see another thing happening on the rise of that, and that is people that actually bother to come, and now this is you all, and this is where I have my confidence in going really deep this morning. People that are coming and participating and worshiping and serving and giving and involved, you really want it. So here's me going forward right now. Here's my assumption about everybody here. You really want it. Would you agree with that? Amen. All right, I got amen. So at least one person really wants it. So there's something in everybody who here, and that gives me incredible confidence. So let me just say this as the pastor. I'm like, wow, there are still people who want it. They want more of God. They want more of God in their lives. They want to be faithful. They want to glorify Him. They want to see the good news go out. They want to see the church blessed. They want to see lives change. They want to see more change in their lives. There are people who still want it. And so that really is wonderful for me to say, I don't have to shy away from going all in with the people who seem to be willing to go all in with me. Now, we don't want to do this in such a way that frightens people or scares people or weirds people out. Like Chris said, I promise you all I'll not be doing cartwheels down the center aisle at any point until we do our circus series. And then, no, but we're going to go deep today. And I want to invite your reflection back on this. if this kind of maybe goes too far, or if this says something about ourselves. So we kind of kicked around some ideas, and we came up with a statement, and it's there in your program. It's about to appear there on the screen, and here it is. We are a missional church of Orthodox Reformed Evangelical Disciples. Oh my goodness, what did we just get ourselves into with that statement? We need to talk about this before people go looking for the exit doors. We're a church. We are a church. And we might want that to say everything, but we feel like we need to say a little bit more about that because it's gotten a little bit confusing. Perhaps, what is the church really, and what is the church really about in today's world? And so the first assurance that we want to give in who and what we are is we want to say we are definitively a church. We are a church. We want to teach people the words of Jesus Christ and educate our children, but we are not primarily an educational institution. We want to feed the hungry and house the homeless in our city through the Severe Weather Shelter Network, but we are not primarily a social work institution or a soup kitchen. We want to be a place where people can gather and fellowship together and build relationships, but we're not a dating organization or community. But we hope that people will connect. We can be all of these things, but first and foremost, we are a church, and we are a church because Jesus called his disciples, his followers, to be a church, to be the ecclesia, to be a gathering. And the promise went to his church and to no other institution, to no other organization, to no other assembly or gathering, that his church would prevail. His church would be the hope of the world and the enduring institution throughout all eternity. His gathering, his church, and that is what we seek to be, a faithful church of Jesus Christ. A number of years ago, many, many, many years ago, I got my start in ministry, doing campus ministry. It's where I met my wife then. We were both doing some campus ministry together. But after a couple years of campus ministry, we had, got married and were expecting Eden. And we went off to seminary up in New England, a place called Gordon Conwell, if anybody knows about that. And we were living at Gordon College, and my wife was a resident, one of the directors of Residence Life there. So it was pretty cool. We got to, live on the campus with the undergraduates, and I'd go and do graduate work there. And to make a couple extra bucks, I started to teach some courses at the undergraduate level there. And so I was teaching this course called Discovery. And it was to help students discover what college is going to be about and who they were and all that fun freshman year stuff. And I got a daughter in the midst of her freshman year first college experience. So I got to work with kids right at your stage. So we did this class called Discovery. And I really liked this one. Said, I'll teach that one because basically I got to take them camping out and go rock climbing and camping and all sort of outdoor adventure stuff because it created a great context for relationships to happen. So long story short, we are driving up to go on one of our adventures. And this girl looks at me, kind of my TA right there, and she says, George, you got a good thing going here. You like your teaching classes and your marriages. And this is why I remember this so many years later. She's like, why do you even want to go and work with the church? I was smart enough to realize there's something behind that. I wouldn't take a genius to figure that out. So I did the old, teacher thing, and I turned the table. I says, sounds like you have some baggage there. Want to tell me about that? And she did. And she told me one of the stories that would make your hearts break. She told me the story that maybe a lot of you could tell, a story about church being very central and pivotal in her life and in her family for many, many years. And a beautiful experience, and a growing experience, and a nurturing experience. And I could, again, drone on and on about that. But then it came to the point where things got rough, and things got rocky, and people disagreed, and things got ugly. And it turns out that people who follow Christ, as Alyssa said at one point so intuitively, guess what? Christians aren't perfect. Oh, surprise, surprise. And eventually, things kind of fell apart. And then at the end of her high school career, they came out of the season where the church became a place of great brokenness and harm and pain and some bad memories in their life. And again, many of you might be able to tell a story like that about a church experience, about a faith experience, about a life experience. But then we sort of turn it around. She said, so why is it then that you love the church? And I kind of went into what I started this. I said, you know what? Jesus said he was going to give his life not for the four-year liberal arts Christian institution, as awesome as that experience can be. Jesus didn't give his life for the soup kitchen, even though he fed the multitudes. Jesus didn't give his life for a retail store, even though we need Christian business people in our world reflecting we need all of that. I said, but it is the church that Jesus Christ died for. It is the church that is the hope of the world. It is the church that is the one enduring institution for all eternity. It is the church that I need to put my faith and my belief and my work into. And not everybody is called to that, but that is what I am called to. And so I pray and I hope, and now reflecting back on the story, that may be begun to become a turning point and her life to bring healing and restoration to believing in the church again. We believe in the church despite her flaws, despite her shortcomings, despite her brokenness, despite her imperfections, despite what seems to be so many things standing against us. We here believe in the church, as Jesus calls us to believe in her. And I personally want to say on this level, personally want to say about this, there is nothing else that I would rather give my life, my heart, my soul, my work, my prayers to than to build a church for the glory of God and for the proclamation of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And again, I am so humbled and honored and joyed that many others, that many of you are joining with me in this process, and particularly here and what God is doing at Connections Church. And so thank you. Thank you for believing in the church. And we are a church, and we will continue to be a church because we believe the church is the hope for our world, because the church is the gathering of the people of Jesus Christ. So there you go. Again, so we're going through this statement. So in case there was any misgivings about what we're going to be about, we are a church. What else are we about? We threw in an adjective on this, missional. Now, this is the one I really wondered about. So just by show of hands, have people like heard that term before, by the way, or am I so like in the lens? Okay, so half of us, yeah. So some of us, you know, we get our, you know, we're so into it, we don't realize what others don't know. So this is a word that has been going around for well over a decade now. And it's a word that we could, again, be like, is that really needed? Maybe not forever. It might not be forever needed, but for now, for this season, many have become very comfortable with this term of being a missional church because we believe it says something a bit more descriptive and intentional about what kind of church we want to be. Emil Brunner said in 1931, when he was a part of sort of the gospel student movement in London, England, he said this. He said, "The church exists by mission as fire exists by burning." The church exists by mission as fire exists by burning. If you take away the burning, the fire doesn't exist. If you take away the mission, you've lost the heart, you've lost the soul, you've lost the impulse, you've lost the passion of the church. Why do some churches seem to burn so brightly and shine a light so powerfully? Because they are on mission. Why do some seem to grow dim and dark and burn out? Because I believe they've lost the fire of the mission. And so what we are saying, and by being a missional church, is we want the fire, friends. We want the passion. We want the heart and the soul. We want to be a people on mission for Jesus Christ. So we are a missional church. Do we like that? All right, I'm going to take that as that you're not, it's not too weird yet, George. So we are a church, and more than that, we're a missional church, and now it's about to get weird. We are an Orthodox church. Now, I went to an Orthodox wedding once. It took 3 hours, and there were 3 languages involved. And there was a procession, and there were bells, and there was incense, and there was the couple kneeling, and there was a couple standing, and then we as a people were kneeling, and then we as a people were standing, and then the couple went aside, and they had a little meal over here, and then I think the priest had a nap, because he was exhausted, because we're 2 hours in at that point, and then he got back up, and I mean, it went on, I mean, I am pretty into the church, and I was like, this is hardcore church. Not that there's anything wrong with that. Seriously, not that there's anything wrong for that, with that. There are wonderful, faithful, serving Orthodox churches, particularly in other parts of God's creation. We are not a Greek Orthodox, Ukraine, and we're not that kind of Orthodox. Orthodox can be a label and a denomination, but Orthodoxy simply means at its heart sound doctrine. Sound doctrine. And we want to be a church of sound doctrine. We want to be a church who believes and stands on the right things. And there's a litmus test for this. And some of you are very familiar with this, so this isn't going to phase you at all to say this has been the litmus test. Some of you, I recognize, maybe this is the first time you're about to hear this. Maybe you've never heard or known about this before. But ever since the 3rd century, there's been kind of this litmus test for who is the church? Who is really a part of the church and part of what God is doing through the church? And it is something that came to be called the Apostles' Creed. And the neat thing about the Apostles' Creed is ever since the 3rd century, churches have agreed by and large in saying this is a great summary statement reflecting of the truth revealed in Scripture on what we believe and are called to do as a church community. And so the wonderful thing is whenever we say we want to be a part of Orthodoxy, we want to be a part of churches who confess the Apostles' Creed, we want to be a part of this, we're joining with Anglicans, and we're joining with Baptists, and we're joining with Congregationalists, and we're joining with Disciples of Christ, and we're joining with Episcopalians, and we're joining with Foursquare, and we're joining with Gospel churches, and we're joining with Holiness churches, and I couldn't think of any denomination that started with the letter I, so that is where I'm ending. But all of us agree on this idea, on what is said in the Apostles' Creed. But here's what I need to tell you about this. Not everybody does. Names and denominations will be, concealed for the identity of the accused right here. But I was once in a meeting of ministers, and this stuff about the Apostles' Creed came up. And this group, and I don't want to sound snarky or anything. They thought themselves clever, we'll put it that way, as people often can. And a conversation grew up, what do you really think about the Apostles' Creed? And I'll never forget one guy said this, oh, the Apostles' Creed, that's easy. I just cross my fingers whenever we say it. And I didn't jump up and slam my fist down and rail, and I just thought, that's really sad. It's not sad so much to me that you stop believing it. At a certain level, it is. It's sad to me that you, as a minister, stopped believing it and didn't have the integrity to come before your people and say, I can't say this in good conscience anymore. That's between him and God, whatever. But this is what I want to say between you and me and God. If I ever come to cross my fingers when I say the Apostles' Creed, I will let you know, and I will walk off this pulpit, and I will let you get on with being a faithful church. I do believe this. I do stand with this. I do believe this rightly encapsulates and says something about our faith. And you don't have to be there. You can be in the journey. You can be in process. You can have questions. But if you want, I want to invite all of us now, and here's where again is going to, again, maybe this is going to be weird, but this is where I'm going to invite you to not cross your fingers, but to stand and to say with me the Apostles' Creed, if this is something that we would like to share together. And I'll invite you, if you've never done this before, to at least do it once, and then think about it, reflect on it, process it, talk about it a little bit. And if you can't, that's fine. Again, I'm just being honest. And again, this is not to exclude anybody. This is to say this says something about who we are and what we believe. And I would hope that everyone would say, I would want to be a part of a church or to be at least journeying along with a church that would actually stand on something. And so this, again, is something that since the 3rd century, churches have stood on to say this says something about our doctrine and what we believe. And it goes like this. And I have it printed out here because I kind of have it memorized, but, you know, you hate to mess it up. But here we go. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended to heaven and is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the universal church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Please be seated. So, we are a church. We are a church, friends. We want to be a missional church. We want to have that fire of mission burn in our souls. We are a church that will stand where the church has stood since the third century and has stood together to saying, here is a great statement that encapsulates what really is sound doctrine and solid belief. And we are also then, in our interpretation, we are Reformed. This is the one where it can get weird for a lot of people. So I have people that will say often, you know, so what are you, church? And I'll tell them about connections or tell them where I've been serving. And they'll say, you're part of a group of churches. And they'll say, yes, we are part of the Christian Reformed Church of North America. And they will invariably, so many people will come to this and they'll say, oh, you're a Calvinist, right? And I'll say, hold on. I'll say, so you're not? And they'll say, no, I'm not. I say, oh, so you're a Catholic. And then they're like, no, I'm not. So again, I'm just telling stories here, friends. And they'll say, oh, so you're a Catholic. And they'll say, no, I'm not a Catholic. And I say, you just said you weren't Reformed. I said, no, I'm not Reformed. And I said, so you're a Catholic. They say, no, I'm not Catholic. I'll say, some of you already know, you've done some church history. I said, there came a point where the church became Catholic or became Reformed. And I know so many faithful, wonderful, Jesus-loving, Holy Spirit-filled Catholics. Amen. I'm not knocking that. I said, but there's this thing called the Reformation. And if you are not a part of the Catholic Church, you are a part of the Reformation. And this can be a great revelation for people. To generally say, I never really thought about that. Whenever we say we are a Reformed church, it means we are a part of the Reformation. We are a part of what did create a church division and split. And it does say something about us to say we're not a Catholic church, but we are a part of the Reformation and some of the principles that came about in that time of the Reformation. And here they are, because I got to speed through some of these things. The Reformation was built on five principles, five guiding principles that led this change in the church culture. Sola Scriptura, by Scripture alone. Sola Fide, by faith alone. Sola Grata, by grace alone. Solus Christo, through Christ alone. And Solio De Gloria, glory to God alone. And these are the principles that guide the Reformed churches. All the churches are part of the Protestant Reformation. We believe that we are to be guided to the best of our ability by the Scriptures alone. The church organizes itself and leads itself and governs itself and directs itself by the revelation of Scripture. And we will seek to do that as Connections Church. We believe that we are saved by faith alone, through grace alone, not by works, so that no one may boast, that we are a church who believes in the grace of God come to us through Jesus Christ, that we are a church who is seeking to give glory to Christ alone and to God alone. Christ is preeminent. I'll always say that. You know, people often say, how should we, you know, describe ourselves as a church? I'll just say we really love Jesus. When in doubt, just go right to Jesus. We really love Jesus. And what's it all for? For the glory of God alone. If you want to know more about, understand more about that, absolutely. We can sort of have classes. We can break it down. Or we can say this is too weird or whatever. But again, we wanted to be clear to say we are a part of this Reformation that began to guide churches and all the denominations, that what we think about are denominations of the church, through these principles to guide our life and conduct. And so that says something about who we are. So we are a missional church. We are seeking orthodoxy, to stand where the church has stood for centuries. We are a part of this thing called the Reformation that's been guiding the church for now over 500 years. And now we're getting closer to where we are today. Notice each one has been a step through the centuries, thousands of years being, you know, covered in one brief statement. Here's the one that I really wrestled with. An evangelical church. If you were like me and you were, you know, growing up in the 80s, you were there in the 80s and 90s, the scandals. I mean, the scandal after scandal after scandal of the evangelical movement. There were controversies, there were abuses, there were horrible things going on. In fact, many people would say that the whole evangelical movement got sort of usurped by the moral majority, and it became a political movement. And I'm sympathetic. So here's where I'm just really have a moment of conversation here with you. I'm really sympathetic to this idea that maybe this word has too much baggage. But it's such a good word. Man, it has a lot of baggage. But it is such a good word. It is the word that simply means the good news of Jesus Christ, the good news of the life that we have in him. It's sort of the word that became sort of the to encapsulate the simple idea of John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son that whoever would believe in him would not die but have eternal life. And if you go back to the heart, the foundation, the beginning of what became known as the evangelical movement, it was simply really built on three things. We are going to preach the authority of Scripture. We're going to preach and teach the word of God and trust that the word proclaimed will change lives. We are really going to lean into personal conversion. Personal conversion, not by cajoling, not by manipulation. Personal conversion because people want their lives changed, because people want a fresh beginning, because people want forgiveness, because people want deep transformation. So they believe that people can be changed through the love of God and Jesus Christ. And finally, not just that we truly believe the scriptures and in personal conversion, but this comes by what would be called substitutionary atonement, really leaning into and believing in, and there are many theological doctrines, I'm not going to, but truly professing that Jesus died in our place, paying the price for our sins, reconciling us to a holy God so that we could have life in him now and forever. And I don't proclaim to have it all figured out or that my opinions are all the right opinions. But again, I just simply want to say this. I know that this word carries a lot of baggage, but it's such a good word. So I don't know if we want to give up on it too easily. And so that is what we are, friends. We are seeking to be a church on mission, believing in sound doctrine, embracing that we are part of something that began 500 years, leaning into what started about, you know, 50 to 70 years ago to say we really want to preach the good news of life in Jesus Christ. And we do this as disciples, as followers of him. We do this as disciples because that is what Jesus called people to do, to follow him and become his disciples. And when Jesus left his disciples, he left them with the mission to say, go and make more disciples. So we seek to be a group of disciples, yet making more disciples to the glory of God alone. Whew. So there it is. I invite the band to come forward to get ready to take us out. And again, I'm going to try to just give this final last disclaimer. I've never preached a message like this before. I've never sought to be so clear on some things, which is always a little bit scary. I have not sought to offend anybody, but to honor people by saying these are some convictions of my heart, and this is what we are leaning into as we move forward. And on this unique Sunday, I truly, truly want to ask you to reflect on these things. Reflect on them personally, but also reflect upon them as a church. Tell me if you're good with them. Tell me if you have questions about them. Tell me if you think this might not be the best way to move forward. We need to say some things about ourselves, and we are going to say some things about ourselves, but we want to do so in a way that, again, is very clear and very honest and very forthright, but not in a way that is offensive. And maybe this is offensive. I don't know. I'm throwing it out there for your prayerful consideration. So do please reflect back and share back with me what you think about this bold statement. And it is a pretty bold statement. We are a church. That is bold. We are on mission. And that is our heart. We are orthodox in that we seek to sound on the doctrine that the church has been standing on since the 3rd century. We are part of a change that happened in the Reformation that started 500 years ago. We are standing with a movement that began at the turn of the 20th century to say we need to reclaim the proclamation of the good news of Jesus Christ. And we are doing this because we believe in disciples. We believe in discipleship, and we believe that disciples make more disciples. There it is. That's what we want to be about, friends. Let me pray, and we'll continue then in some worship. Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for this time that we've had to gather and to worship you. And I feel like, you know, this has kind of been the Sunday, you know, in many ways where we just kind of put it out really as a close-knit body, as a family, to say, what do we really believe? What are we about? What's it going to be like for us moving forward? And Lord, I know in my heart, all of these things capture something very personal and deep about what I believe. And I pray that we might become a church who can come together around these things. Lord, because these things, they don't say everything, but they say something. And we want to be a church that says something and says something very clearly. And more clear than anything else, we always want to say, Jesus Christ, you are our Savior. You are our Lord. We love you and we honor you. We give our lives to follow you. We will seek to follow you as your church, your ecclesia. We will seek to follow you and pick up the mantle of your mission to send us forward. We will seek to follow you and believe that there is such thing as truth, and we need to stand on truth of sound doctrine. We will side with the church of 500 years ago, which said we want to stand on Scripture alone, on faith alone, on grace alone, on Christ alone, for the glory of God alone. We want to proclaim your good news, Jesus. We want to proclaim that we are saved by your death on the cross, which substituted for us and our sin. And we do this because we seek to live as your disciples, making more disciples. We pray this in your name, Lord Jesus. Amen.